We're going to talk about the reality of Christmas for just a few moments, because without that wonderful fact being connected, then it's just a great, great story. You know, in just a matter of days, we're going to take all of this down, and we're going to put it in boxes, and we're going to store this away so we can do this again next year, so that we can once again celebrate Christmas. But the reality of Christmas is something that must be not only obeyed, observed, and honored every day of the year, because if we rally the troops for Christmas, it's wonderful to honor the birth of Christ without acknowledging who He is, Savior, Lord, Messiah, and all of those other things. We talked about last week how there was this incredible gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament, 400 years by measure, where there was nothing done, nothing great had happened. There was no news, if you will. What if you had not heard something for a week? What if you had to put your phone in your pocket? Nobody texted you for a week. Nobody called you. You didn't get on Facebook or anything else. Would you not be wondering where the world is? You would just be escaping reality. And here were these people some 400 years. I'm sure there's no comparison, but that's what they experienced. I want to take you to the Isaiah, the 9th chapter. We're talking about hundreds of years separated, not just the 400 years between the New Testament and the Old Testament, but decades, centuries removed from when Jesus was born. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verses 6 through 7, here's this announcement. Isaiah, this prophet, who did not get to see this. Don't you just get disappointed when you get to give people news, but you know you're not going to be able to be there to enjoy it? You're not going to be able to celebrate it, because it's something that's either going to separate you from time and distance. It may be something that's going to happen down the road, and you're not going to be there. What a disappointment. Here was Isaiah. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called," check this out, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." What fabulous words to rest on through all of these years, these decades of wondering when the Messiah would really come. You got to understand, these people have been through an awful lot. The history alone, there, all of the great, wonderful things that happened with the patriarchs, Abraham, Joseph, Isaac, all these great things, fabulous things happening through the prophets. They're telling all this stuff, and everybody's wondering, where are the good old days? And then it finally happens. The event that escaped probably most of them. They didn't realize it till much, much later that this is really what happened, because 400 years of silence is broken by an announcement to the most unlikely people around. They were the shepherds. Now let me take you to Luke, the 2nd chapter. We just saw it in many ways depicted with the video, but also explained through Scripture. There were shepherds who were out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." And there's no way that we could, in video, or even in the midst of inspiration, can really capture that moment. There are just things that you just had to be there. You ever had that? You just had to be there. The thing that happens when you you don't come to church, you have a great service, somebody tells you all about it, and they're going, "Oh, that's wonderful," but you know, because you weren't there, you didn't experience, and they're all excited. It's the same thing when you happen and you read a great book, or you meet somebody real important, and you get a selfie, or you see this fabulous movie. There's just no way to represent this. And here we read out of Scripture this incredible circumstance. And it says that they were greatly afraid, and the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The reality of Christmas is simply this, that the manger of Jesus Christ that became his cradle was soon to become destined for him to bear the cross of Calvary. These two have to be connected. Every one of us are going to be born, and every one of us is going to be to die. And you've heard people talk about it. It's what in between is that makes the difference and what's so important. But with Jesus, everything that happened when he was born and everything he did in between led up to the culmination of one event, and that was the cross. That is the reality of Christmas. And we don't celebrate it because of the way it looks. Easter is the time we celebrate all of that, right, Pastor? That's when we talk about what the Romans did to him, the torture that he had, and he carried the cross, and he went up to Calvary, and he wore that horrible thorn, a crown of thorns, and all of the things, and the scourging, and the betrayal, all of that's for Easter, right? Well, yes, it is, but at the same time, it is the connection between the cradle of Jesus Christ in that manger and the cross of Calvary that makes the difference. Hey, listen, he was always destined for the cross. The shepherd said this, he is going to give us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This isn't about some cute little baby. This is about who he would be in destiny. Joseph was told, don't be afraid, for he will save his people after he was said, give him in the name of Jesus, because he's going to save his people. What can a baby do to save anybody? Then it goes on in Jesus. We look at age 12. At the end of Luke, one little thing where Jesus says himself, I must be about my Father's business. Because the reality, the true meaning of Christmas is the relationship between the cradle of Christ and the cross of Calvary, because that was where he would meet his destiny. To separate the two is an incomplete picture. And it's not that we have to completely bring one into the other. Let's sacrifice the cross of Calvary for the sake of honoring Christmas. No, not at all. No, it's great and it's wonderful, and we'll talk about the baby and we'll do all of these things, but we must connect them because they are so linked together. They are separated by some 33 and a half years, so to speak, as far as the scripture tells us, but at the same time, it's a synonymous event. He was born to die, and the death on this cross is why he came. That is why he was born. I was 6 years old, and I was so excited because we had this little tradition when I grew up. Dad would take forever to get ready on Christmas morning. We were all camped out in our bedroom, and we couldn't go from the bedroom that we had into my father's bedroom because you really didn't want to go there because there was only two reasons you were in there. One was to celebrate Christmas, and you were blindfolded by your mom all the way through there, past the Christmas tree, things that happened in the middle of the night that we knew were just unexplainable. We couldn't wait to see it, but you were escorted into my dad's bedroom. Any other time of the year, it was not a good event. You were always taken there, and there was always a belt involved. So this finally, this one time we're in there, my dad would shave whisker at a time. It was horrible. It took forever. You know, my sixth birthday, I come flying out of there, and I saw this incredible bike. This is a bicycle. It was brand new to me. You see, my dad was a mechanic, so he knew how to take things that were old and rebuild them and paint them and make them look new. And I got this bicycle. I was so excited. Listen, we took Christmas serious. And it happened in the South. You didn't have to wait for things to thaw out before you could work out on these things. I took that bike, immediately after we did breakfast, everything, I'm outside and I'm riding this. My dad didn't believe in training wheels. I'd never ridden a bike before. I can't tell you how much blood I shed trying to learn how to ride that bike. On the same day, great joy came into my life because of this incredible, brand new, shiny, purple bicycle and all the blood that I shed on that thing. That's the same truth about Jesus Christ. The wonderful picture we have of the babe, the great joy of celebrating all this, and please celebrate it to the max, but don't ever forget, but all of the blood that's going to be involved in this. R.G. Lee was a great Baptist pastor. He wrote these things about the cradle. He said, the cradle is a place of innocence and purity, but the cross a place of guilt and shame. What a contrast. The cradle is where life begins. The cross is where life ends. The cradle is a place of protection, but the cross is a place of exposure and pain. The cradle is a place of honor and worship, but the cross despised and rejected. He said, there never was another who was a human child, yet a divine son, who was appointed the savior of men, yet was crucified by man, who is the judge of men, yet allowed himself to be judged by man, who died and was buried, yet he lives, who saved others, but would not save himself, who had no sin in him, but yet he became sin for us. Who was the King of glory, yet the only crown he ever wore was that of thorns. He was the Prince of life and life itself, yet he died on Calvary. Who created all seas and lakes and rivers, yet on the cross he said, I thirst. Who was the victim of a cruel Roman cross, but was the victor of a Jewish grave. When Jesus was born, there was this incredible bright light that shone on the place where the Christ child lay, but there will always be that he would live under the shadow of the cross. And Jesus embraced this. Jesus knew that he was going there. There was only one time that you and I even wondered a little bit about his concern for that, and that was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Father, is there another way? Is there a plan B here? But yet your will be done." I believe that Jesus went through that simply to show us that we have options too. Is there another way? Can we do this another place? Is there a way that we can escape this? But your will be done, and we lead our lives and follow his example. And I believe that at this time of year, we see that too many tend to embrace the cross, but yet they reject, they embrace the cradle, but they reject the cross. We love celebrating this. It gives us every opportunity. My wife was wrapping presents last night. She loves to wrap presents. I hate to wrap presents. Paper doesn't cooperate with me. Tape doesn't cooperate with me. I mean, come on, this is just not a man thing. I don't know if it's a man versus woman thing or somebody who's sophisticated or coordinated. I don't know. But she loves it, and she always puts bows on them. I'm going, hey, it's covered. We're good. But she has to doctor it up, for crying out loud. I mean, that's okay. Good for you, you know, but just don't let me be involved because it'll just be horrible. I remember I used to think funny papers was good enough. That's what we used to get stuff wrapped in. My mom and dad would, seriously, they would just find the comics in the Sunday paper and they would wrap stuff with that. It was good for me. No, not for my wife. She's got to go all the way. But that's cool. Celebrate it. Celebrate it to the max. But don't ever forget why we celebrate this. We openly invite Jesus into our activities on the eve of all of this that's happening in Christmas. But sometimes I find that people just resist the desire or the want or the encouragement to embrace him in their heart as Lord and Savior. That's because I think maybe they don't see the connection. The cross over here represents his death, our freedom, our forgiveness, our redemption, our healing, all of these things God provides through this. But yet we embrace this and we only embrace this alone. God says it must be two, must be both. But if we can bridge the gap, if we can make the connection between the two, we're going to find real freedom. Remember what he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Here's the child is born and us a son that is given, and that's going to be the connection. And we associate this with the birth of Christ for so many reasons. Let me take you back to Isaiah as I close. In the 9th chapter, he gives us this wonderful introduction. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, all of these things. But then in chapter 57, this is what he says. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we had it hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he was borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You know what? I learned a long time ago to take responsibility for what I've done wrong, for the times that I've blown it, for the times that I've hurt people. I've used my mouth irresponsibly, the things that I've done with my eyes and maybe the things that I've said, all of that. But you know what? I don't think that's fair for me to carry that on your response, the things that you've done. But yet Jesus did. Jesus took mine. He took yours. He took every one of these young people. He took every one of these young parents. He took every one of these classics that are up here, all of the years that represent, all of the things that we have done, all of those things Jesus laid upon himself. That's the iniquity that Isaiah saw. Can you imagine the contrast of Isaiah? Here's this man. He's a prophet. And he's seeing this wonderful event, and he's procrastinating. He's proclaiming it, and he's making sure that everybody knows this fabulous thing is going to happen. He probably had no idea there was going to be this void of this gap of 400 years. And then the announcement, finally it comes, but he saw the big picture too, that he was going to be rejected. It's like we hid our heads from him. I don't know if it was because of the cruel look, because sometimes we see things and it's just so disturbing that we have to look away. There's other times we look away because we just don't care. You see, this wonderful gift that God's given us through technology called the remote allows us to see something on TV. Before we get engaged, we can just totally go to another scene and become entertained instead of involved. And that's what Christmas is really easy if we're not careful. We become entertained instead of involved. Can I just tell you, the Bible says that He bore our grief and He carried our sorrows. That's how much Jesus Christ embraced the cross. You see, I believe that there's a part of us that would think that Jesus endured the cross, but not at all. I believe that Jesus not enjoyed, but at the same time, He knew it was a part of what He was going to go through. He knew what it involved. There was no secret. God didn't hide from Him what the pain was going to be and what it was going to feel like to bear our sin. But Jesus was willing to do that. You know why? Not because He was going to be tough enough. Not because God was giving Him the strength to do it. But because He saw the prize of what it would do in you and I if He went to the cross. There are some sacrifices that people make for other people that it's not because of what they're going to give up. It's because of what it will accomplish in somebody else's life that they will sacrifice that. And that's what Jesus did. And that's why we embrace not just the cradle, but also the cross. The Bible says that He was His stripes cause us to be healed. It says literally this, not that we were healed, but that we are healed. We have the promise for the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ for our hearts and for our lives, for our bodies, for our diseases. He did all of this while we were as sheep and gone astray. That's what the Bible says. Can you imagine that today after this service, if you've seen these videos, you've heard these songs, you embraced this message, you've heard from Isaiah before and after, if you will. You've bridged the gap of 400 years, but also to bridge the gap in our own minds from what Christmas is and what the cross of Calvary is. Christmas and Easter, if you will, we've bunched this all together, so now we see the solid story. It's no longer a void. We no longer have any information missing. How horrible it would be if we left here today and did not embrace that. And cause that to be not His story, but our story. Not His sacrifice, but our benefit for what Christ did. The angel told Joseph in a dream, the virgin shall have a child, bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You realize that because Jesus was born, but yet bore a cross, that you never have to be alone. Not a single sickness, surgery, disease, tension, relationship, problem, sin. Not a single thing we'll ever have to face alone because of Jesus, unless it's our choice. You bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask that Carolyn and Di and Daniel will make their way back to the platform. I'd like for them to sing that wonderful song one more time as we end today. And I think it has such a powerful message. It connects all of that. But while they're coming and preparing, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. This is your moment. This is your moment. If there's something that is a disconnect between you and Jesus, whether it's no longer the reality of the connection between Him as a babe and a grown man on the cross, but yet that separation could be your sin. That separation could be that we've honored Him because He's the baby, but yet we've failed to embrace Him as our Lord and our Savior. Jesus Christ comes to us today offering freedom, offering redemption, offering forgiveness, offering healing. What a wonderful gift. We have 1 week left until Christmas. Next Sunday, it will be Christmas Sunday. It will be the day that we get to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, not only because it's Christmas and we open the presents, but also because He's our Lord and Savior, if that indeed is the truth in your own life. If there's something that Jesus needs to do for you, something you want Jesus to do for you, I'm going to ask you to do one thing just real quick. You're just going to do it super quick, and it's all going to be about you. You see, that pew you're sitting on gets to be a private audience you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just you and Him. But if there's something that you desire in your heart today, He's going to do it. He's going to respond to the desire. If that's you, would you just lift your hand and put it right back down? Thank you. There's a lot of hands out there. Anybody else? Real quick, just a hand up and right back down. Thank you. Isn't this going to be an awesome Christmas? The reality of Christmas and not just the celebration of Christmas is going to be what we will all esteem. Let me pray for you. I ask these guys to end us with this song before we leave today. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I join with this congregation, Lord. I know the cry of our heart. Every good Christian questions themselves constantly. We find ourselves repeating once again, and I say it on behalf of myself and on behalf of everyone here, Lord, forgive us for the things that we have done that have fallen so short of your glory. Forgive us then the things that we've said, the thoughts that we've had, the activities that we've done, the behaviors we've exposed ourselves to. And Lord, we are sorry. But today, Father, we embrace your message. And the message is the reality of Christmas is that you died so that we could have our sins forgiven. Lord, some of us bear issues in our body. We pray for Bill Marlin today, Father, at the emergency room right now. The Bible tells us that you died so that when the connection between the cradle and the cross reminds us that you died so that we could have our hearts healed, our lives healed. We could have our bodies touched. We will never have to be afraid ever again. Lord, some of us have big questions. We're glad Christmas is here, but we're worried about after Christmas. We're worried about finances. We're worried about jobs. We're worried about the unknown. And today, Father, we need the security of knowing that Jesus Christ, the Savior who left the cross, was buried, rose from the dead, is going to see us through all of those moments. Lord, help us and forgive us for the times that we've turned our head the other way. Forgive us this day, Lord Jesus. Now may you fully help us embrace Christmas. Celebrate it to the maximum because of who you are. The babe born in Bethlehem, but the Savior who died at Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.